If you will, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're just going to look at three verses tonight. It's the calling of Philip. This is when Christ found Philip. There's a whole lot of messages on what we'll look at next week, Lord willing, on Nathaniel. There ain't a whole lot on Philip. And as I studied it, I dwelt on this, and it just stayed with me for a week and a half now. I thought, this is just too precious to pass up. I don't want to zoom through this, so we'll take our time and look at it. But God calling Philip. This is how a sinner like Philip, how just a man born of Adam, like me, like anybody, whosoever, this is how they can be just before the holy God they offended. This is what takes place. Lord is just. He's holy. Evil can't be in His presence. He doesn't tolerate the wicked. He doesn't have pleasure in him. He doesn't tolerate the jesting. He has to be holy to be in His presence. And He's the justifier. Christ Himself came to this earth, the Lamb of God, for His people. Conceived holy, born holy, lived holy, hung on that cross holy, sinless, bearing our sin. He's the just and the justifier. And He's the finder of His lost sheep. Boy, is that good news. It ain't on us. I don't have to sort these things out. I don't have to come to an understanding and a knowledge or work. Or do. He comes to us. He comes to us. It says in verse 43, John 1, verse 43. The day following, this is the day after the Lord called Peter, another day after Andrew and John were called when they saw Him. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Why was Philip found of the Lord? Why is any sinner found of the Lord? It says Jesus would go forth into Galilee. The Lord would. I've dwelt on that, for hours. Jesus would go forth into Galilee. All I can think of, that's our kinsman redeemer. Here's Jesus of Nazareth, the man, the God-man on this earth. He's kin to us. He's born a woman. Our kinsman redeemer. He's able to redeem. He's able to save those He came to seek and save. He shall save His people because of His blood, because of who He is. God Almighty in the flesh. That kinsman redeemer was kin, he was able, and he had to be willing. Jesus would go forth into Galilee. Jesus would go forth into Ashland, Kentucky, into Danville, into Rock Valley, Iowa, into Jamul, California. He would. He would. That's why Philip was found of the Lord. We'll see this next week when we look at Nathanael, but Galilee was like, it was a province, what we call like a county. It's like San Diego County. And Nazareth and Bethsaida, they were towns inside of that province, inside of that county. So what was Galilee? That was the world. That county was despised. It was up north. They didn't want nothing to do with them. Herod provinced it off. Y'all keeping people. The Jews despised them. There's a bunch of Gentiles up there. They didn't like Galilee. They sure didn't like people from Nazareth. That's a little bit worse than being out in the country, and they couldn't stand people from Bethsaida. That's a rough place. Galilee represents this world. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. What Galilee's picturing here. He came in. He would come into Galilee. He would come into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Christ came into this world to seek and to save them that were lost. Not the righteous, them that are lost. It says in verse 43, the day following, thought of what Paul said, when he separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. There's an appointed time for every child of God. He will not lose any. There's an appointed time he would go to Galilee. He would come to where you are. And this was Philip's day. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. That means he obtained Philip. He got a hold of him. He didn't come across him. He obtained Philip. He findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. What happened when Christ found Philip? Christ came to him. He found him where he was, and he said unto him. This person said unto him, follow me. Just as our Lord spoke to that other dead man. Philip was a dead man walking. He didn't think he was. I'm breathing air. I'm alive. He was dead on the inside, wasn't he? We see that in Lazarus. That was another dead man the Lord came to. He spoke unto him. Called his name out. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. The Lord spoke to Philip and said, follow me. Philip followed him. Lazarus came forth still bound hand and foot. And Philip was still bound in this body of death. This old nature, this old man that we're born into, it was still there. Just like we still are. But now there's light. Light was commanded. A new birth was commanded in him. He said, follow me. And that's the same it is with every sheep of our great shepherd. The Lord comes to us. He comes where we are. Meets us where we are. And he speaks to the heart of his children. And he commands them, follow me. Follow me. It's a command. God Almighty's willing something to command and something to happen. It's going to happen. It's not a suggestion. It's not an offer. He comes to his people, he shall save his people, and he commands unto them, follow me. This is personal. And praise be to God, it's forever. It's forever. If he comes to you and he commands life in your heart, it ain't going away. Now, our walk through this world, he's now our destination. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if I'm going from here to Texas, I may go north a little bit, I may go south a little bit, I may stop for gas, but I'm going in one direction. I'm going to Texas. We're going to him. We follow him. We follow him when he commands us. How was Philip or any other saint able to follow him? How was he? He was spiritually dead. He was spiritually blind. He's lame on the inside. David wrote to us and said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Do I need to make myself willing? I will be willing, but do I need to muster up something? I got to get the ball of faith rolling? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What a picture we have here. Here's a saving of this mighty apostle, used of Christ, in one verse. God came to him. He found him. He spoke unto him, and he said, follow me. That's it. Not too fancy, is it? That's not too... Ain't a whole lot of bells and whistles on that. What happened? God saved the sinner. He was pleased to do so. He would. He would. Christ would go forth from Galilee, found Philip, he said to him, follow me, and that's it. That's the simplicity of Christ in his marvelous gospel. He saves sinners. He comes to them, speaks to them. Did all this happen because Philip was an important man? Was Philip a very religious man? He cleaned his act up and clean living, and he studied the scriptures a lot. And he deserved it for some reason. Of course not. Look here in verse 44. Now, we could read through this really quickly, couldn't we? We could go from verse 43 straight to verse 45 and not skip a beat. But in verse 44 it says, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Just like Andrew and Peter, Philip was from Bethsaida. That was worse than Galilee. This was a rough fishing village. It means fishing house, Bethsaida. You had to be rough to make it there. It's a rough place, and if you're going to live there, you've got to be rough to live there. Commercial fishing, port here on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and it's the dregs of society. Law didn't go up there much. Leave them boys alone, they're fishing. Let them do what they're going to do. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11 real quick. Matthew chapter 11. We remember this name, Bethsaida, from something else, don't we? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 21. Our Lord speaks and says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than it is for you." That ain't a good place to come from, is it? This is where the Lord performed some miracles. He called three apostles out of Bethsaida. That's where he went and spit on the ground, made that spittle and put it in the man's eyes. We know he healed that man's blindness. So he was in that area. The Lord was working in that area, and those were great miracles. And he says, "Woe unto you. God Almighty is in your presence." That's worse than Tyre and Sidon. They're just left to themselves. Now you're without excuse. Christ came to you. We could read it this way in our day. "Woe unto you, Hamul." That's not arrogance. That doesn't sit with me that I can puff myself up and like, "Well, I'm better and everybody else is in trouble." That's painful. That's a weight. That's a struggle I have. "Woe unto you, Hamul." God Almighty saved some folks in this place. Christ has been exalted in this place. It'd be better for Tyre and Sidon. Better than for Sodom and Gomorrah. "Woe unto you, Rescue. Woe unto you, Danville. Woe unto you, St. Croix." God's had a man there for 40 years preaching. "Woe unto you, Shoalhaven, Australia." Wherever his people are, that's where Christ is. That's where he's proclaimed, he's exalted. That's a bad place to be, but that's where the Lord came and he found me. Do you know that? I had a privileged upbringing. I had believing parents. I was taught manners. I lived in good neighborhoods. I had a quality education. But this heart is an old, rough fishing village. There's scars. It smells like fish. Hooks are sticking out all over the place. It's a rough place. My inner man, born of Adam, it was from the dunghill, from the miry clay. The bottom of a prison pit. That's what it was. And just like Philip, just like Andrew, just like Simon, just like every sinner Christ came to in this old world of Galilee that we're in, he came to save. We were utterly undesirable. You don't want to buy property in that part of town. Looked down upon, not even pitied enough for someone else to cover us and our bloody and our nakedness like that baby. That's where the Lord came to us, and that's where he found us. We were found by him that we didn't seek. He came to us. But Philip didn't go on about that, did he? He didn't go on about how he was from the rough side of town and how bad he had and he had it worse than somebody else. Maybe before the Lord spoke in his heart, he may have. "You don't know where I'm from, buddy." But things had changed. The Lord spoke to him. Things had changed. The Lord came to him in power, personally spoke to him, unto him. It was one-on-one. And he said, "Follow me." And something changed. What happens in the heart of one of God's children whenever he speaks to us? What changes in us? Our past changes. Our present changes. And our future changes. In our eyes. The way we have to look at everything chronologically. I can't speak in terms of the infinite. I can't speak in eternal terms. I can't wrap my head around that. We're stuck in time. But our omnipresent Lord isn't. We see in part, we know in part, but there's something that happened. Something changes in us. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 1. So many times I've looked on my own words, I've looked on my own thoughts, my own actions from my past, and I've had nothing but regret and sorrow. Truly. Not, I kind of feel bad about that. I mean, just shame. You want to curl up and go hide somewhere. I don't understand what future sins lay ahead of me. I don't know what the Lord have come to pass in my life. I haven't had too much time to dwell on the sins that I'm committing right now. I don't think it's wrong or I'd be doing different, wouldn't I? Don't know what I don't know. And this is active. This is daily, day to day. I haven't had time to reflect. But I've had some time and I've had some light given to me on my sins gone by. As I age some, I look back, I said, "What foolish, what sin I committed against God." That past has changed. It's not forgotten by me, but the Lord did something for that, didn't he? and he's humbled me through this. Look here in Isaiah 1, verse 18. Isaiah 1, 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, blood red, they shall be white as the snow. Though they shall be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Every bad memory I have, every horrible thing I know I did, it was me. The Lord said, all that scarlet you caused is going to be white as the snow. Isn't that something? He tells Isaiah later on, he said, I blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. And he says, return unto me, for I've redeemed you. Where did all that sin go? God bought me. The blood covered those sins. What a thought. Can we really get a hold of that in fullness? We only see our sin in part, don't we? I can admit to a couple bad things, you know. I know I am sin, but the Lord hasn't fully opened my eyes to what I truly am, or I'd probably explode. Every one of them have been put away as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that something? That's great mercy. That's humbling, isn't it? David wrote to us, for as the heaven is high above earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. All sin is washed in the blood of the Lamb for His people. That past has changed. All those things I got a good handle on were wrong. Christ had to pay for those. Everything I'm doing now that I reflect on in 20 years, it was just horrible. That's what that blood covered. That's something, isn't it? Our past changes, but our present changes too. The Lord comes to us and He commands our hearts, life, our present changes. We no longer serve those fake gods and religion, which is serving ourselves to feel good, to feel proud, to feel worth. Or something in us. We no longer do that. We serve the Lord. We serve the true and living God. We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for others. The Lord's people, the ones that we know now and the ones that the Lord hadn't called yet. That's our intent, isn't it? Lord saved me by His gospel. I want somebody else to hear that. I'll tell somebody else. Turn over to Ezekiel 36. This is our present change. There's just three books to the right. You've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people. And I will be your God. This is a promise to that nation of Israel. But that's a shadow, that's a type of His promises for His spiritual Israel, isn't it? The Lord said, I will put my spirit in you. I will give you a new heart. A flesh. That's what will happen when He saves His people. Have that new heart put in us. And I've heard people say before that the Lord had worked in them. They were in this world doing whatever they was doing. The Lord finally come to them. He came to them where they were. He spoke to them. Saved them by His grace. Did a work in them. And then later they went back to those same old circles they used to run in. They go visit old friends that they used to have drinks with, or they played ball with, or that they had Bible studies with, or whatever it was. Whatever side of that lake you was on. Old co-workers, and they'd say, you know, it's not the same as it used to be. They've changed. They're different. Something's different. No, nothing's changed in them. That's the same as it's always been. Ain't nothing changed. Old circles haven't changed. There's been a change in you. God's put His Spirit in you. We still have this old nature with us, but we have a new nature now too. We have His Spirit put in us. And that's where the internal conflict comes into play. Inward and outward. Outward with people we used to know, our friends, our family, our loved ones, and all those things. But inside, if I was on a deserted island, there's conflict. All the things I think and I want, I think what's right and want to do. And there's a new man in me. It's not that way. Paul wrote, said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Become new. What's new? Well, now we've been given eyes to see. We have seen the Son. Now we know of our wickedness. We didn't know that before. We knew we did something bad. Like I told some lies or whatever. But now we see we ain't nothing but sin. And we see His holiness. Now we see our weakness in this flesh. I can't do nothing. I can't take my next breath unless the Lord allows it. And we see His mighty sovereign power in all things. And we see that there's remission for sins in the blood of Christ. And only His blood. Nothing else. The new man doesn't fret and worry over all the events going on all around us in this world. We know that the Lord rules and reigns in all things. That old man has problems, don't he? That new man don't. If I'm looking to Him, we'll take care of a bit of this one. Knowing the God of providence, we see absolutely everything in our past has brought us to the feet of Christ. Everything that in my life, every breath I took, every molecule that ever moved, what did it take for God to save you? Everything. To bring me right to His feet. Because He would find us. He has found His people. The ones He's come to already. And His Word was effectual in our hearts. We know our sins, all of them are forgiven by His blood, by Christ's blood. And we've been given a new heart. He's our King. He's our God. And His will is being done. That changes our present, doesn't it? We look around us. Our present changed. Our past changed. We knew that's what everything was necessary to get me in the right mindset. The Lord got me right where He wanted me. To teach me something. Reveal Christ in me. And now our present changes. But our future changes too. Our past has changed. Our present changes. And our future changes. Now we have a personal destination. Maybe before we thought we was going to heaven. Now, we desire to be conformed to the image of Christ. We want to be with Him. Lord, where dwellest Thou? Wherever You're dwelling, that's where I want to be. I don't want to be in heaven. I want to be in Christ, my heaven. I want to be with You, with the person. But before this life's over, that's what we look to ahead. Before this life's over, now we have purpose, we have a direction in our lives here on this earth, not just bouncing to and fro, not turned by every wind of doctrine. Now we seek to serve our Lord to further His gospel, His free and sovereign grace in the person and work of Christ our King. We want to tell people about that, don't we? Turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And knowing the Lord's power and providence, to accomplish His perfect and holy will, we have comfort knowing that whatever may come in time, whatever's coming down the road in the Lord's providence, that it's right, that He's holy and He's just. And I want Him glorified in my body. Whether He keeps me alive and uses me, has me follow Him and tell others as much as I can, as He opens doors and He enables, that's what I want. And if He says, I'm going to kill you tomorrow, I say, good, that's game. Thank You, Lord. If He keeps breathing me for another 2 years, I'm thankful. If He takes me home tonight, well, it's game. Then I get to be with Him in person, see Him face to face. That affects our future, doesn't it? That's what the Lord puts in the heart of His people. If someone were to tell the new creation in the heart of a believer, if they could not speak to the old man, just speak to the new man. If someone walking down the street to the heart of a believer could say, you know, in the future, the economy in this country is going to fall. If they said, you know, in the future, in 10 years from now, the way things are going, this whole country, the entire United States, will be nothing but communism. It's going to be like Russia of old. If they could speak to that new man and tell them that, the old man would probably do backflips, wouldn't he? Oh! What are we going to do? That new man would say, this is the Lord's economy. The heart of the king's in hand is in his hand. He turns it howsoever he pleases. He loved me before time. He put me in Christ back then, my Redeemer. And he fully finished the work of redemption. And all the glorying of the Father when he walked this earth. And all the things that happened in my life. Therefore, my good, the good of Christ's people, and the glory of God. That's okay. Economy's crashing. That's all right. Who crashed? It's his. He did it, didn't he? That's what the new man says. That's why for us to live is Christ. And for us to die and shed this body of death, this wicked Bethsaidian that I was born with, oh, that's gain. That's gain. People say, oh, we lost them. No, no. No, they gained. They gained when a believer goes home. There isn't much anxiety for the future. Whenever the Lord awakens us, stirs up our pure minds, and points us towards Christ, is there? There's an old song I'd like to change a lot of the words, but it says, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. My past has changed, the way I look at it. My present's changed. Everything comes into play today. My mercies for today are new, aren't they? And my future's changed. What's coming down the pike? That's all right. Lord chose it. He willed it. It's right. That's right. That gives us comfort to get through the week, don't it? Back to our text there in John 1. Now we go and tell our loved ones, those we care for, those we know, that we found Him. Him. It says in verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. We found this one. God Almighty, we found him. Of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We found the one that Moses wrote about. We thought it was a law the whole time. I can't do that law. Here's the one that filled it full. We saw all those prophets. What was they talking about? This Messiah coming. Here he is. He's fulfilled the prophets. Every jot and tittle, just as he fulfilled that law. Him. That's who we found. This is a person. It's God in human flesh. The Almighty. And we found him. We found him. Nathanael, we found him. Isn't that something? Was it right for Philip to say, we found him? That was right. Did you know that? It's not an error. We found him. We found him. We know that Christ would go to Galilee. We know that Christ, he found Philip. We know that he commanded Philip to follow him, and he followed him in power and truth. But Philip found the Lord too, didn't he? What was he saying? I am his, and he's mine. He's mine. Our Lord gave these two illustrations back to back in Matthew 13. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. He's right here. We found him. I know where he is. I'm silly there, God. I'll get to him. He said in the very next verse, again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went out and sold all that he had and bought it. When we find him, when we see him, when he comes to us where we are, reveals himself to us, calls the power, now we found him. We ain't going to let him go. It's like Jacob wrestling. I ain't letting you go. So you bless me. I'll stay right with you. I found him. We go tell people that, don't we? Elihu told Job. He said that there being a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto a man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from now, going down to the pit, I have found a ransom. Well, I'm going to that pit. I found a ransom. It's Christ. He found me. I found him. Noah found some things too, didn't he? And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me, makes me sigh that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How? Grace was there. Grace was there. That merchant man, he found that pearl of great price. How? The pearl was there. The pearl came to him, didn't it? The Lord in providence. And that past and that present, that future, the Lord brought him right to it. That man that found that treasure hid in the field, because there's a treasure put in that field. Philip had searched the scriptures before, likely with Nathanael, wouldn't it? The prophet sat and read the scriptures together. It says in verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now we've seen the Lord. Now that you and I see the Lord, that's who we look for. We don't go back to that law and say, what needs to be done? We look for Christ who fulfilled it. We don't go to the prophets, ooh, what's coming? What's coming up next? What's a sign of time? It's been fulfilled. Christ has come. That's what we look for. Now we read the prophets and we see that declares Christ. We read the New Testament. They didn't have this at the time. Philip and Nathanael didn't have a New Testament. We do now. And we see this. All these things come to completion. Come to fruition. Lord finished them. We don't see what needs to be done. We see the one who has done it. Who was successful. That's a pleasure and comfort I have going through the Psalms. If we see Christ, His person, that completed work in the Psalms, now I can truly have comfort. Now I can read that and say, my Lord did this. That's why I'm able to have comfort. That's why I'm able to lay me down to sleep. That's why I'm able to wake up in the morning and pray to Him. We'll see next week, Psalm 6. That's why David had a water bed. He cried so hard that bed was floating. He made his couch wet, didn't he? That's all right too, isn't it? That's all right too. We can wake up and go to that throne of grace in the next morning. I have found Him because He first found me. I sought the Lord because He sought me. I love Him because He first loved me. And I give myself to Him. All of me. Lock, stock, and barrel in this body of mine. It ain't much. I give whole self to You because He laid down His life for me. Philip did one more thing in our text. It says in verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, how I'd responded right now. Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see. He was declaring Christ to Nathanael. And like so many before this took place, like so many in our day, so many in that day, there's so many questions asked to God's watchman. Hypotheticals, trivial things, stumbling stone questions. They come up with all these questions, and the answer's the same. I don't have all the answers. Come and see. I can't answer all your questions. I can't fulfill every request. Come and see. Come to the Lord. Come to where He is. What a lesson there is here in being patient and forgiving to our brethren. Philip was the one used for that great revival in Samaria, wasn't he? He was the one sent out in the desert to preach Christ to that Ethiopian eunuch. But he was also the one who asked the Lord, said, you show us the Father. 3 years later, Lord, show us the Father. Christ said, how have I been with you so long, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I've been with you this whole time. Like our Lord told Andrew and John, come and see. Like Philip told Nathanael, come and see. And we tell all those that doubt, all those that are troubled, those that are heavy laden, those that have questions, they have heartaches, just come and see. Come and see. If we come to where Christ is preached, where He is found, where He is, we will see in time. If we come, we're going to see. All right then, we ain't going to go from infants to 40-year-olds next morning. But in time, we'll come and see. If the Lord is teaching us, if the Spirit's moving on us, all of our questions will be answered in our season. Nathanael's was too. Lord willing, we'll look at him calling Nathanael next week. Let's pray together.